We're speaking now with Asia Williams, and she is a Republican candidate for Commissioner District 2, the incumbent. And Asia, thank you for being here to speak with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start out with an introduction. Tell the listeners a bit about your background, how you wound up here, and anything that you'd like them to know about your qualifications.
All right. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to the people. I came here to live in a free environment. So I own 20 acres in Southwest Bonner County. Before running for commissioner, I started working with our community on land use issues. You saw me at land use hearings and at commissioner hearings. And one of the things that I decided was I could have a positive impact on the outcome if I was actually the county commissioner. I have a pretty good professional and educational background. I have a bachelor's in English with an emphasis in teaching. I have a master's in business administration. I have a Six Sigma Black Belt designation, which is basically process improvement. I also, through being a county commissioner, recognizing the needs of the county, I became an internal auditor, which is not something you just apply for. You have to qualify to be. I also did grant writing and grant writing consultant because I heard from the people throughout various discussions that they didn't want our county to be bound by some of the restrictions that come with grants. I ran on a platform of bringing the people to the table. And so even before I was commissioner, you see me holding town halls and events to hear what the people have to say, because my platform is truly one of, I'm not a politician, I'm a representative. And in order to represent the people, I must hear what the people have to say. And so throughout my time as your county commissioner for District 2, one of the things that I hope Bonner County sees is how much I fought to ensure that every voice is heard, whether it's land use, whether it's coming to a Bonner County meeting, so that when I'm making a decision, that my decision is incorporating the rules that govern the role, as well as what the people of Bonner County are asking.
Okay. Are there any nonprofit groups or professional affiliations you might like to mention?
I am affiliated with actually quite a bit, from the Government Finance Office of Accounting to the American Society for Quality. Those are things that I stay connected with. I'm also a nurse, but in terms of Bonner County specific, I will tell you that I've worked very closely with Bonner Transition Housing. That's really important because it's a very valuable resource. I've worked also with NAMI with respect to mental health. I sit on quite a few suicide prevention boards. And one of the things that I absolutely love about working with Don at NAMI is the openness to address the concern of our public to have a faith-based aspect to mental health approach. I also get to have a wonderful relationship with Dr. Wasif over at Kinnexu Health. I have a passion for mental health as well as drug abuse prevention in our community as a whole. I come from that type of background. Both my parents had mental illness and my dad had a drug abuse issue, and I bring those as kind of platforms that I use my visibility as a commissioner, but work through as a community. I also am part of our Medical Reserve Corps because I'm also a nurse, and I teach various courses like suicide prevention and like Stop the Bleed, so that I'm immersed in the community is also one of the things that I get an opportunity by those affiliation. And then I think I have to give kind of a shout out to Gem State Gleaners, because I'm also one of those, and we distribute food across Bonner County.
The Gleaners, yeah.
Yes,
they go
Gem
out
State.
And find food from gardens or agricultural plots that
yep.
didn't get harvested, and
yes.
you recover that.
And
yeah.
we bring it, and then we try to redistribute it throughout our community, and even like when Fish and Game is netting the fish, we try to get food throughout our community, and so that's one of the things that I participate with.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. So, Asia Williams, the perennial question, I think this you're going for your second term, correct?
Correct.
Why are you running again?
I spent my first 2 years with quite a bit of focus on our budget. And so internal auditing was something that Bonner County was screaming for in terms of our budget. And I didn't just hear that. I was qualified to do it when I stepped in, but I actually took extra steps to the Institute of Internal Auditing to be more familiar with a good process. And when I started doing that and working on our budget, specifically working with our risk manager, Christian, who has been a wonderful person to work with, working with Kevin, working with Rosemary, working with Alicia in HR, we've been able to actually reduce exposures. When you look at the claims from the point that I started to the point that I am right now, your 3-year claim review reflects less than a quarter of a page of claims. You see our experience rating having shifted from 117 to 0.87. That is a reduction of what taxpayer dollars have to spend. We have never had a county commissioner, and I'm taking this quote specifically from Clerk Rosedale. When have you ever seen a county commissioner in the state of Idaho internally audit the county? And the answer is never. Typically, the reliance is on the minimum qualification, or excuse me, one minimum requirement of a county to audit is your external audit, and you pass those. But passing the external audit doesn't address the granular issues that we've uncovered, such as HSA benefits being lost by over $70,000 a year because the system was set up incorrectly. Through internal auditing, we identified, we corrected those, and brought taxpayer money back into the budget. We need somebody that understands how to do that. And even when you're watching these forums, I am the only commissioner that ever talks about internally auditing and staying focused on bringing your tax money back to the budget.
Well, great. So you're engaging again because you see a need to continue the work you've been doing. And you kind of segued right into my next question, which is, tell us 2 or 3 more issues that you think voters might want to be paying attention to when they're deciding between you and your opponent.
I think you have to listen to the content. So when I'm answering questions, I'm being specific to the function of a county commissioner. And so that's really important because we need qualified people. When you look at the 9 elected officials that you get to choose from, there's actually only one that comes with requirements of education, and that's your prosecutor. But when you look at the other positions, there isn't actually requirements. You just have to win. Bonner County has to select a commissioner that is qualified to execute Title 31, that's qualified to do the budget, that's qualified by way of the way in which decisions are made. When you look at the decisions with respect to land use, you oftentimes see a historical vote where it's a 2-to-1 vote where I'm going top to bottom from our local land use planning act, comprehensive plan, sub-area plan, having read absolutely every single comment. When you look at what's being returned to Bonner County for re-review, you see that Commissioner Williams oftentimes is a standalone position that has gone through so much detail and decision-making that judicial review is supporting the way in which I'm approaching. That's important for both the developer and the landowners because both sides are paying when a commissioner decision comes back because you're talking about legal fees. We need somebody that took the time to educate themselves on the function of a commissioner. I've heard my opponent say in interviews, and this occurred even in the Barbara Carpenter interview, well, there's going to be other people to help me with that. That's not acceptable for me as a taxpayer. When you look at the salary that a commissioner gets, I want a commissioner that's coming to the table with something. I'm bringing education, experience, but I'm also showing you results of what I have done and a trajectory that you need me to continue on. One thing that's really important for Bonner County to remember is when you look at settlements in Bonner County, when you look at our legal cases, these are not legal cases that were caused by Commissioner Williams. These are legal cases that I am working with the prosecutor's office to reduce the taxpayer burden. And so, for example, you hear this constant thing within some groups that under Commissioner Williams, $2 million of taxpayer money was paid out. That's not a true statement, and I want that to be clarified. Under Commissioner Williams, I have reduced settlements. Under Commissioner Williams, what you saw was $1.5 million was paid out of the insurance layer. But the person, that particular case was against a prior board member, Mr. McDonald. That case was actually with Travelers. Travelers invited me to participate to help reduce that exposure. That exposure was $4.7 million. I got that case down to $1.5 million. That's what Bonner County residents should be hearing is Commissioner Williams' involvement in settlements as a proven track record of reducing the exposure because I'll tell you, we are headed towards some very significant concerns with respect to our budget and our infrastructure, and we cannot keep wasting money on unnecessary litigation. The cases that I mentioned on last Tuesday's meeting, those are not Commissioner Williams cases, but they are absolute cases that I've worked on. They're employment cases between the clerk's office. You have cases filed by the clerk against the Fair Board. That's leaking our money out of our budget that I have taken the time to use my educational background and my history of mediation to reduce the exposure to Bonner County and keep our money in our budget where it belongs.
Okay, well, let's talk about a few issues that I've identified. I think one of the top ones, maybe for folks that are weighing out commissioner votes, is basically just the decorum and civility among the commissioners themselves. You know, it's no secret there's been conflicts between various commissioners that have played out during some of their meetings. What's your take on that? What's the best way for you as one of those commissioners to work with your compatriots there?
I think that, one, look at our commissioner meetings that the decorum question came up. Those were meetings with myself, Amit, and Bradshaw. And the public addressed that issue when they removed Amit and Bradshaw. After that removal, where are your decorum issues? There isn't a decorum issue. And so I think that that's important to recognize, is that the community addressed the issue that was on that board. And so what you've seen is cooperation, collaboration, and good communication amongst the board members post that removal. And so one of the things that I've heard is, we keep saying it, but that was 2 years ago. You know, so it's not how long do you continue to bring something forward. The community addressed it at the voter poll. And so when you look at decorum, point towards where your current board has that issue, and you're not seeing that. And so there's nothing to work on.
It's pretty much resolved.
The people resolved it. And that's exactly how it's supposed to be. The people resolved the decorum issue.
Okay. Another subject would be minor land divisions. I think there have been concerns by some members of the public that those minor land divisions, that process was being used by some developers to skirt around subdivision requirements. That has evolved. Where do you stand on the whole question of using minor land divisions, or where we're currently at in the county with that process?
This current board remedied the problem. And so legal gave a recommendation about minor land division process, and it was being abused. It was intended for family splits. And I want to be clear to the public, family splits still exist. That was addressed. The issue was, let's not circumvent the subdivision process and then spread the infrastructure strain onto the public. Those all were addressed. The minor land division is continually to be used as kind of a political platform to address the way in which legal recommended that the board address it. And I said this at the public forum. Legal gave a recommendation to change our agenda per a code that exists. And I say it, 74204 subsection C allows the board to change the agenda based on the emergency that legal gave the recommendation for. I understand not liking when an agenda changes that way. But I also implore the public to see, where have you seen that being abused? And I've said this, the Board of Commissioners has to utilize that particular statute. And we have to make sure that we don't abuse that. But in this case, it was proven that the legal recommendation was correct because a single commissioner leaked that information. And what did you get with that leak? You got a flood of minor land divisions from the person that it was leaked to. So it's important to say, I don't like the process either. But I equally put the health and safety and well-being of all before that process. I wish that when that issue came up, that instead of an immediate, let's say something negative, that the position of those that were negative about it was, is there a history with Commissioner Williams doing something like this? And the answer is no, because I have always pulled the public from commissioner chats to town halls. I'm pulling the public in. I followed a legal recommendation based on a health and safety emergency that they identified. And that's part of what the community has to understand, is my protection as a commissioner and as a board doesn't come from a political subdivision. It comes from the prosecutor's office. So after that decision was made, the public was made aware of a RICO lawsuit that took place. And you actually got some realtors and developers that said, oh, now we see why that was necessary. So right now you're hearing people kind of agree that minor land divisions need to go away. We just don't like how the agenda changed. The agenda has changed like that on a lot of issues, and it's actually a necessary component. We just need to make sure it's not abused. And even when you read the argument, it's not that it was abused. It was, well, I don't like it. But I promise you, it wasn't abused and it wasn't taken lightly, but it was based on a legal recommendation that was shown through the flood of, I think we received 7 from a single developer who was told over the weekend. Imagine had we not followed that recommendation, what it would have looked like.
Yeah, would have been a bigger flood.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what, and that was the legal recommendation. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's talk about a corollary issue, which has to do with private property rights, because in the development of the county, we're going to have some parts of the county that you have an individual property owner who wants to do something with their property. That's their private property right. But then you have neighbors that feel like that's infringing on their property rights. I think the case that's happening right now is the Panhandle Bike Ranch in Sagal, where the people that own the bike ranch want to use it for an apparently approved purpose, but neighbors don't like that because of the impacts on their neighborhood. So where do you stand on private property rights, especially when they're coming up in conflicts like that, where the individual property owner kind of versus neighbors?
So I can't talk about the bike ranch because there's litigation. I do have to correct a statement, is that they don't have the right to operate as a bike ranch. They don't have a conditional use permit. But I'm going to use kind of the idea of conditional use permit and Bonner County as a whole. One of the things that commissioners have to make sure that we uphold is you need to come to the county before we start doing things, because we have to address the property rights of everybody. And so I would put to the community, and I'll use my own property as an example. I live on 20 acres per my HOA. I have an agreement that I'm not going to subdivide. I'm bound by that. Now, is it right for me to go and say, well, you know what? I want to split mine into five so that I can put more houses on it and I can make money. When I bought that piece of property with those conditions, I agreed to those conditions. Now, if I want to change something about that, there's a process. My property right goes with what I bought, not with what I want to do. The condition of what I want to do must be met in order to make those changes. And so for people that live outside of kind of the HOA might say, well, Asia should get to divide it. It's her property. But the answer is, no, I shouldn't get to divide my property, because when I bought it, I agreed to those conditions. And in part, one of the things that's important in Bonner County, we don't have building rules. We do have requirements by which you must come before the board. It's important for everybody that we follow what little bit that we do have, because the infringement on rights is significant. The impact that somebody's property has to another person's is significant. When people bought next to my property, there are five of us back there, everybody bought and has the agreement, we're not growing. We want to all stay on 20 acre minimums with no subdivision. Is it my right to change it because I own it? And the answer is no, because I agreed not to do it. And that's in part what is difficult on property rights, is some people do have the idea that you should just get to change it, but that isn't my position. I take a look at the rules that govern, and I go line by line by line. And that's why you see the decisions that I make are being upheld at the judicial level, because property rights are being equally balanced between both developers and the public. If you watch some of our hearings, sometimes you'll actually hear me go to one side. I'll say to the property opposers who don't like the development, I'll say to them, look, this is why I'm making the decision that they can develop. And I'll go line by line and I'll speak directly to them. And if you look at my emails, sometimes I'll get emails where they say, I don't like the decision you made, but I understand how you came to it. And that's what a good commissioner is. And the only way you get that is if you understand the rules that govern. And that's where I am leaps and bounds above my opponent, is I know how to do it. I've shown that I know how to do it. And that has reduced the exposure, which is ultimately keeping taxpayer money in the bank, because otherwise you're talking about third-party attorneys to defend decisions that are not defensible.
Okay, let's turn to another issue here, if you want to call it that, the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. And management of the fairgrounds. It seemed like there was maybe a gray area between whether the fair board should manage it or it falls under the county more properly and the commissioners should manage it. Where do you stand on management of the fairgrounds?
So every time you change boards, that's where you have to kind of come up to speed. And so one of the things that we had was some commissioners didn't fully understand that even though the fair board is managing the grounds, that it's essentially a pass-through of management from the Board of County Commissioners. And so a legal opinion was given that very clearly stated to the Board of Commissioners and the fair board what the rules were were, and then we have moved forward. One of the things that you did see change was the Fair Board, as we have repeatedly as a public have been asking for a five-year plan that shows where are the upgrades, where are the buildings. You have the Fair Board ask for a change in who their commissioner liaison is, and that request was to change Commissioner Korn out for myself because I have a background in doing that. And I will tell you, the current Fair Board members have a background in finance, so does the Fair Manager. It's amazing to see where we are right now with that five-year plan. I can't name everybody on the board, but from Bauman to Woods to just, we have so many people there that understand the needs. And one of the things that they completely are set on is maintaining the rural character of our fair while equally bringing in things that will increase the profit margin. Because when you look at the fair, one of the things is it isn't self-sustaining, but we're committed to fixing that. And then through a good legal opinion and the change of the Fair Board, we're moving in those directions. And the community is starting to see that because you see less animosity at Fair Board meetings. You have actually seen the chair, Ben Woods, allow the public to openly speak at those meetings. You've seen a change in a positive direction. So I'm very happy to see where we're headed. And I think so are the members of the community who have been so fixed on supporting our fair.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to run out of time before you know it here. We only have a few minutes left, but let's talk about roads real quickly because roads are a big function of the county, mm-hmm. taking care of our county roads. How do you feel the county's doing there? And do you see anything that really needs to happen differently?
We need to tighten our budget because roads are going to be negatively impacted from a federal level. That is the way it works. There's a lot of federal funding, which is why it's important to internally audit and make more money available for roads. The biggest complaint that you get are people want more in our infrastructure in a rural county. Our director, Top, does a fantastic job of listening to the issues and concerns, but the increased cost of the material alone is going to negatively impact Bonner County. That is a huge concern for me as we go into this next budget cycle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we are running out of time. I usually like to close with the why you question, where I ask you to identify the sharpest differences between you and your opponent. You've kind of done that in the course of this already. You can address that some more, but also tell us how people can get in touch with you if they have questions and they're still trying to decide how they want to vote.
Well, I give out my cell phone number, 208-920-1299. Call me directly and I'll answer. You can also go to Idaho True North News to look at the historical commissioner chats. It also gives you an opportunity to donate to my campaign, but it also lets you see the history of how I have engaged the community throughout my term as your commissioner. I think that the differences are very significant between myself and my opponent. I didn't run because someone asked me to. I ran because I'm qualified. I have the financial background. I have the insurance, the risk background, and I have the understanding because I've been immersed in what the community needs for such a long time. One of the things that I will tell the community is you've got a lot of cases and a lot of insurance things that I've been involved in that are not resolved. If I'm not there to sit in the gap, who takes that seat? Someone that doesn't know those cases, doesn't know that type of industry and can't defend Bonner County. Bonner County needs to be defended, and that's what I have been doing successfully. I've worked very good with our HR, our risk, our legal, and that needs to continue. It's not really a difference of qualifications. I am the qualified candidate, and I think that I've shown a proven history of that, and I've shown the metrics of keeping your tax money where it belongs. You've seen me take our budget from this is what I need to, you need to tell me why you need this money before I put it in there. And so I'm hopeful that people disregard dishonesty and look for facts.
Well, Asia Williams, the Republican candidate and incumbent for Bonner County Commissioner District 2, I just want to say thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Thank you for having me.